Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, Edinburgh!
Hello, Edinburgh!
Hi,
welcome, it's Friday night.
Are we right?
Yeah, 6 o'clock, let's get drunk.
Right,
give us a cheer if you listen to the podcast.
Woo!
Welcome, give us a cheer if you've never heard of us. You are also very welcome. The eagle-eyed among the people that have listened might have spotted we have had a bit of a change of lineup, and it's not because we're trying to be the sugar babes. What's happened is our beloved Hannah George has got COVID.
I know. And she's 6 months pregnant, so yeah. She's absolutely fine. She's home with her husband, who is spoiling her rotten, but she needed to go and rest.
Yeah,
so she's sorry done that.
It's almost like COVID hasn't been adequately dealt with. I don't know.
And still a pandemic. I would like to use this opportunity to say I never liked her anyway. If anything, she's just too friendly. So
she's
we're relieved.
So what we've had is we've brought in a ringer from Special Branch, longtime friend of the podcast and previous fantastic guest, very overqualified for the position. But that's the only way that women get promoted in the force.
That's right.
I like the delayed response to that. She's Olivia Award-winning from Showstoppers. You might even recognise her from TV shows such as Man Down. I know. And People Just Do Nothing. It is the fantastic, legendary, amazing comedian. It's Ruth Bratt.
Thank you.
Thank you again for stepping in to help us at such short notice.
Genuinely the biggest pleasure. I've been every day I've been skipping in, I'm going to go and hang out and talk shit with women. Woo!
Yeah. And that's a podcast.
Yes.
Well, you've been great. This is your third night on the force, so
it
you are hardened.
You're settled in. You know
cynical.
Where the coffee machine is.
I do. Yeah. I do.
It's a carver machine.
She's filed a few sexual harassment suits. It's all going on.
But I still don't know how the photocopier works.
No, that was always the worst job in an office, if you sat near the photocopier.
Yeah.
Because everybody would ask you
can
how
you
it
do
works.
This?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Do you know how does this work? No, it's cheap and it's broken.
Yeah.
And it's not my job. Sorry, I've gone off on a little rant about temping. But you're right.
I'm all right, I had to do a self-tape. So I did it. There's no way of doing a self-tape. You can't do them by yourself. It's impossible. So I got a friend to come around and do it, and we did it, and I sent it off. I edited it all together and went, ooh, yeah, look at me. And then I got a call from my agent today saying, you've only sent them one scene and it's only halfway through. And I went, I'm just going to WhatsApp you all of the raw files and you can do it. I was like, I'm so sorry. It makes me feel old, like proper.
That's good. Do you know what? She's sitting next to the photocopier. Let her do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was my day, just going, I don't know how it works.
I feel that
it's very productive.
It's all right. It's all right.
And oh, of course, we are joined by regular panelist, the amazing Taylor Glenn.
Hi. Thank you. They're like, yay, there's only one American. yeah. Do you know what? I had the like comedian's dream of the a funny thing happened to me on the way here, but I'm so honest, I have to tell you it was actually 2 days ago. Is that okay? Okay. I started wearing a Fitbit. I don't know if anybody else does this, because the only thing better than a shitty night's sleep is reading that you've had a shitty night's sleep. but yeah, so it buzzes against your wrists when your heart rate goes up. So like you're in the fat burning zone, zzz, you're in the cardio zone. Zzz, zzz. So I was just walking here and something happened that doesn't happen that much these days. This guy rolled down his window and he wolf whistled at me like a hoot hoot, like classic, sounded like an owl kind of thing. And
Was it an owl?
Maybe he was an owl.
Was it dusk?
It was dusk. But so that happened, and immediately my Fitbit went zzzz. And then I just spent the rest of the walk just feeling really confronted because my head was like, oh, what misogyny. How dare you appraise my appearance in an unwanted manner when I am just walking to work. But it was like my Fitbit was going, you like it. You need the validation these days. I still haven't worked out how I feel about it.
I like that your head is a feminist, but your heart is a horn dog.
Never has someone summed me up so well, Kate. My God, I might go on Tinder just to see how it works out.
Man. So now you know a bit more about us.
Yeah.
I think I've still got grass in the back of my throat from a grass. Has anyone been to the meadows? They've cut the grass. I had a grass fight with my kids earlier, by which I mean I was just largely attacked by my kids. I think I've either coughed up or swallowed all the grass now, so I'm good to go. Are we ready to bring on our fantastic guest? Yes! Please show a lot of love for the fantastic, the legendary, amazing comedian, it's Suze Kempner! Yay! Hi, welcome!
Suze!
How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm very well, thank you. I like standing in the wings with a drink. Cheers.
Cheers,
everybody. Oh, wow, lots of you are on it. Well done. It's Friday. It's about 6:15. Good job.
All right, Suze, we got one question.
Okay.
Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, I have. So this is 2015. Okay. I was in a very busy London bar, and I paid for my drink at the bar, Chip and Pin.
Right, okay.
It's the old days.
Chip and Pin?
Yeah, Chip and Pin, paid for my drink, like bustled my way back through the masses with my wallet in my pocket. And then two tall men like sandwiched me, one behind me and one in front of me, like facing each other.
Ooh.
Like they were both doing me, but nothing was going on. But anyway, but I was literally like, I thought, because I'm 5'1", and I was like, they just haven't seen me. It's so busy in here, they just haven't seen me. So I was going, guys, there's someone down here. Hello. Oh, here we go. Oh, I'm invisible, am I? And then they suddenly just broke apart. I was like, they noticed me. 10 minutes later, I realised they'd stolen my wallet. And they'd obviously watched me put my pin in at the bar and stolen my wallet, and they helped themselves to everything in my bank account.
No!
£40. It was so easy to get it back. I just rang the bank and said my card was stolen at this time, and they were like, oh, we'll get the money back to you. And within like 6 hours, they were like, here's your £40. I just really like the idea of these two like very tall criminal men going, oh, fuck.
What did they buy? Did you get to see what they
bought? They went to Boots. They went to Boots. Wow. And obviously, and what I guess, it, so it's Piccadilly Circus, and there's a big Boots that's open late. And they'd obviously gone in there and they buy appliances on my card. And then I guess they sell them. Oh. And they basically got a hairdryer. But they probably tried to buy loads of appliances, like just, you know, expensive toothbrushes and stuff. And then they'd gone,
Crime is so glamorous.
Imagine though having to go, all right, well, we won't take this then, and then gradually going, we'll just have the hairdryer, please. I didn't realise we'd robbed a struggling artist. So I got loads of money now. They got £80.
Oh, man. Woo! I love the idea that these criminals were declined trying to do their scandal.
Yeah, it was very mild. The whole thing, very mild.
I want to know how big the stack of shit was. And they're like, try this. Right, they started with Dyson and they're like, you're not getting a Dyson today, so you're just not.
So Boots own probably, wasn't it?
Boots like a crappy Boots hairdryer. But they still got it free. And I got my money back, so the only victim was Lloyd's. Really.
So it's win-win. It's win-win. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I'm like Robin Hood.
It's such a creepy way to rob somebody to sandwich someone.
Yeah. And it really didn't... I didn't feel like, oh, they're being gross. I really thought like, these pricks haven't seen me.
Excuse me.
They've got they're a foot taller than me, and I thought because they were talking as well. They were going no. And I was like, hello.
The thing is, it is so distracting. Like it puts you in a different state, so you're not thinking about your wallet. You are thinking, oh, I need to get their attention. You're just so it's Gross. Such a clever, horrible distraction.
Yeah, it is clever
because you're physically like bothered by it.
So women and gentlemen, if anyone does this to you and your Fitbit goes crazy, don't get turned on. Pay attention to where your wallet is. Because I know I'd be feeling mixed feeling. Christ. It's so sad. That reminds me of being stuffed into a New York subway. So I was in my early 20s, still a little bit naive, like girl in the city. And I just remember this guy was very, very close to me, and I could tell, like, oh, this doesn't feel right. And then I'm like, oh! And I feel that great. And he put his hand all the way through my legs and just started.
No.
I know. Now I would absolutely report it. Then I was like, why did I stand right here?
Oh my God.
Why am I wearing a skirt? You know, the weird things that go through your head. Jeez. But the best part was, I'm like, no, I'm going to stand up for myself. So I was like, excuse me, get your fucking hands off me. You know, I really, really swore it. I'm a little clap, little clap. No, but the best part was he turned around and there was just this huge woman on the other side, this badass, and she went, don't turn your fucking shit towards me.
Oh my God.
So he was just totally caught out penis, like, wee. But then we still had to ride three stops together. Like, still have to get where we're going.
He'd been told you won. And then that was good.
Thank you. It never felt like a win, but now it does because I've shared it. And that's podcasting.
Yeah. You got to take the victories where you can get them. I think, like now as well, so I have two children, and I think I have such a loud mum voice now that if I ever get groped on the tube again, I'm going to just shout, absolutely not.
I got groped once in Soho, obviously.
Sure.
I was walking down a street. It was my own fault. And the guy did it, and I just went, oh, pervert! It was like I suddenly became this really outraged. But I think he liked it. He sort of went,
He's like, oh, you recognise me. Yes, I am a pervert.
You rang.
Yeah. It's good when you suddenly come out with something, like completely accidentally, it's good. Like I once, a white van man drove past and just sort of went out the window at me. I'm sure in his head they were words. You know? And I just yelled back immediately, you sexless wanker. And I was so chuffed with myself. I'd never been that good ever again in any situation.
There's something about that moment that just...
Yeah, it was like that, and that's what it was.
You go into the improv zone. bone.
Yeah.
it's nice when you form the words, though, because I mess up my words all the time. So I'd be like, you wanksist sexton.
No. I think I just turn into someone very like, oh, stop it. You know, like really, like just a bit disapproving. I think oh, this, for heaven's
this
sake.
This is my new plan. I'm going to take my mum skills. I'm going to treat the next, like, how I have to talk to my five-year-old. And I'm going to say, excuse me, sir, that's your private winky. Put that back. I know it might be comforting, but you have to do that. You have to do that when you're by yourself. That's what I'm going to do.
I love that.
Wow.
I think they'll put them away if we all call them winkies.
Yeah.
I'm your private winky. I'll put it away now.
Now, before we start a karaoke,
guess
night,
I'll go whack in my pants. It's hard to stop once you start.
The next question, Suze, and that is, if you had the perps now, what would you say or do to them?
Oh, with those guys?
Yeah.
I would go, enjoy all the appliances, boys. No, please, be my guest. And then I'd follow them to Boots and watch them very quietly from around corners as they found out that I was penniless. It's like, gutted, I'm already broke, you idiots.
Yeah. Oh, I like you turn it into a prank show on them.
Yeah.
That's great.
Also, do you like the way I was drinking in an expensive London bar when I flat out knew I only had £40 left over my overdraft limit? Ah, fuck it, why not?
That's great.
Love it.
All right, well, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to groping. To putting men back in their boxes.
Yeah.
Do they have boxes? We have boxes. Men are free.
Hashtag not all men.
Yeah. All of the men in here are obviously awesome.
We love you. We do. We do.
Yeah.
We're not talking about you. Unless you've been getting your winkies out, in that case.
Yeah. 100%.
We need to have a chat later. Yeah. But not... Someone needs... Anyway. I'm going to move on to the true crime section of the podcast now. I have the details of a case. Woo! Yes! Yeah. No one else... Yeah, I can't not sound sarcastic, but believe me, I'm stoked. So listen up, knuckleheads. This evening, we're going to be discussing a court case called Burrow Giles, isn't it? That's how you say that. Burrow Giles Lithographic Company versus Cerrone.
Wow.
Ooh.
Sounds grisly.
Now, not all of the cases are gory. All right. We gotta make jokes about this. Now, my first question to you is, what do you think this case is about?
Say it again, Burrow Giles.
Burrow Giles Lithographic Company versus Cerrone, or V. Cerrone, if we haven't got time.
V. Cerrone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
I'm off now.
I mean, God, I hope it's about printing. Oh. Illegal printing.
Ooh, I think it's about, like, intellectual property theft.
Nice. Mm. We've got printing, we've got intellectual property theft.
I think it's about a lithographic company.
Yeah.
And Cerrone is, like, one of those artists who's like, no, printing sucks. He's so anti-modern stuff that he hates the printing press.
Ooh, nice. Oh, nice.
That's an interesting.
So he's going to burn them down.
Nice. Okay, so we've got, like, a sort of a Luddite vibe taking on modern technology.
Okay. Yeah, it's very much like my Nana.
Okay.
It's sort of like, life was better before the wireless.
How old is your Nana?
She's 93, but like, if you suggest the internet even exists, she goes, oh. She hates all forms of prejudice, except she's incredibly prejudiced against technology. Wow. Anyway, she'd probably love this.
All right.
She'd be like, take them down, Serena.
She might have been there. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is for Suze's Nana. So, we are talking about photography. So, who said...
I said printing.
And what was...
I said intellectual property theft.
Okay. Well, hold that thought.
Ooh.
Do you know what? Everybody gets a point. Female workplace. Okay. Your next question is, what year do you think this court case might have happened?
Wait, so it involves what?
Photography.
Photography. So the rights to photography. Oh, my God. This isn't the baboon case, is it? Sorry, do you know when like the baboon took his own selfie and then it was the argument of...
Oh. And then who
sorry
owned
to
it,
jump ahead.
He took it.
And his it's name was Cerrone.
Cerrone the baboon.
Oh my God, he got his own little suit.
Came I think you'll find I took that.
You know what?
Represents
I will be representing myself. Yeah.
Like Ted Bundy.
Planet
I brought my Cadbury Dairy Milk. Niche. I think maybe I'm going to say 1954.
Okay, 1954. Love it.
I'm going to go like early doors. Like
okay.
When was photography invented? Probably like 1860.
70, yeah, yeah. Something like, yeah,
something like that. So I'm going to say like 1898.
Okay, 1898.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's making me think Mad Men, so I'm going to go 1963.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
1912 in honor of Hannah George. She'll appreciate that.
Titanic. That's when Titanic sank.
Yeah, she's obsessed with Titanic. And she guesses that for every... even questions that aren't what year it was. Yeah. It's like, what city was it? 1912.
I think, in that case, Ruth is the closest.
Oh, okay.
It was 1884.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Now, this photograph, this particular photo... Now, I'm sorry, it's not the baboon case, obviously. but that would have been cool.
Could they do selfies in, like, when they originally...
Probably the first picture was a selfie.
Could be. We can't... First, you know what? You can't prove her wrong.
Think about it.
No.
Because so, well, they didn't have... They were nerds making a camera. They didn't have any friends.
So, true.
Just sort of...
But God, you'd have to hold it for like 15 minutes to get the flattering angle.
Yeah, they had, that's why all those Victorian portraits.
They had the string.
Yeah, they had the old clicker, didn't they? Yeah, maybe they
could do it.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Solid theory. Now, this particular photograph is of a very famous person who you have all definitely heard of. They're famous then, they're famous now. I have two questions. Number one, who is this person? And number two, why would this photo be causing a legal problem?
Is it Queen Victoria and she didn't say yes?
Okay, ooh. Lovely answer.
Ooh. Is it Abe Lincoln?
Abe Lincoln.
And he didn't like it. He said, take it again. And they went, oh, it's going to take 45 minutes, yeah. Mr. Lincoln, President Lincoln. Actually, 1884, I think he'd already been Six Semper Tyrannist then, hadn't he?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, he must.
Is it around that time then, the 1880s?
It's 1884.
So we're like 20 years.
Is it Paul Rudd?
Civil War.
Paul Rudd.
He never ages.
Hey, yeah.
God, he looks incredible.
He does look good.
Oh, my God. Yes. If we find a photo of him,
yes,
yeah.
Please. Oh, shit in hell. I hate when you ask, like, famous, everybody knows it.
I tell you what.
Oprah?
I'm going to give you guys a clue.
Okay.
Because no one's got the person right yet. This is an Irish person that English people like to think is English, but they're Irish.
Fuck.
In 18...
Piers Brosnan.
George Bernard Shaw.
You're along the right lines, but it's not.
James Joyce.
No.
Oh.
Keep going, Ruth. Keep going for the team.
Oscar Wilde.
Oh, Oscar Wilde.
It's Oscar Wilde.
Oh, my God. You guys really... Not you guys. They do really pretend that he's English.
They really do.
Okay.
They really do. They.
We really do.
I know. We are such imperialists. I have multiple heritages. But yeah. God, I've got an Irish passport.
Woo.
Got nothing on me.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you. God. Right. Anyway, so I could still claim Oscar Wilde. Now... it's copyright law.
Uh-huh. Is anyone triggered by this, by the way? It's all now, right to leave.
I do appreciate that out of all the fascinating and sensational things we could have been discussing with Oscar Wilde, I've brought you copyright law.
What but didn't the man do?
Actually, you know, I didn't want to go to route one, actually, to make it interesting. So, just, you know, shame on you for wanting titillation. We're going to do... We're going to do copyright law. Now, there is actually nothing inappropriate about this photo or anything like that. It's a lovely one. Part of me wanted to print it out to show
it's
you.
It's not a photo, private winky pic.
But it's, no winkies are shown in the photo. Like in the early days of this podcast, when we used to do like 50-seater rooms, I used to, if I wanted to show people a photo, I'd print one out and pass it around the audience. But apparently that's not very showbiz when you're in a bigger room. Because, woohoo, us. So I didn't want to kill the razzle-dazzle, but you can look it up. So I'll describe it to you because it's a listening podcast. Basically, he's sitting. Now, he's leaning one head on his hand and he's holding a book in the other hand and there's crushed velvet. He's wearing a crushed velvet jacket.
Oh, come on.
And sort of stockings. He's all young.
He's just trying too hard.
He's very handsome.
He had a very big head.
He did.
Didn't he?
Did he?
Like a big head.
That's why Stephen Fry was good at playing him.
Yeah.
He's got a big head.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. He's got a big head.
My husband has a huge noggin. Does he?
Wait, what does noggin mean?
No, he has a huge head. And I was terrified the whole time I was pregnant because I was like, oh my God!
But she took after me. I have a tiny little pinhead. Anyway. Well done. So Wilde had gone to Napoleon Cerrone from the court case, but that hasn't happened yet, in his New York studio to get this portrait done. Question for you guys, how much of his great works had Wilde written by this time in the early 1880s?
Do you want a percentage?
Or just like,
oh, yeah,
is he,
let's do percentage
ones. Had completed 63% of his complete life works. Prove me wrong.
I'm going to go lower.
Okay.
I'm going to go like 42 and a half.
She so doesn't have the percentage. That's the best part of this. So what is it, Katie?
I can zero in. Continue.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I reckon he'd just done one, and it was like everyone's first book. It was just like all your best tweets. Elongate it out, make it a book.
I'm giving it to Suze.
Nice. He did do good tweets, Oscar Wilde.
He's like, the precursor to... Anyway.
Yeah.
What the hell are tweets called now?
They're still called tweets forever.
X.
And they'll have to drag me off that website in a box.
Shit out of this.
X. I think he calls them Zeets.
What is wrong with him?
Oh.
What's wrong with him?
He took an overdose of divorce.
Pervert! What is wrong with him?
Sexless wanker. That would be brave, wouldn't it, to tweet that at Elon Musk? Ooh, how brave.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Oh, hey, kids. It's time for this week's patron shout-outs. Thank you to Melanie Self. It's good to respect yourself. Thanks to Sean. Wow, your generosity really shone through. Lorna Forsyth. I got nothing. Rebecca Locke. Don't lock away your creativity. And finally, West Coast Fergus. That sounds like a train company. We really appreciate the support. You can check us out at patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
all he'd actually done was a book of poems in 1881.
Oh, so it was just one. Just,
wow. Yeah, so his all of it, like Lady Windermere's Fan is 1893, and so is A Woman of No Importance. Most of them are in the 90s, Importance Being Earnest is 95, Ideal Husband, 1899, and Picture of Dorian Gray is 1891.
Gosh.
Oh. If you would like me to continue, The Happy Prince and Other Tales was 1888. So, but he was wildly, wildly famous at this time, but not for his writing.
Ooh.
So question, why is he so famous?
Because he was a lad about town with the other lads.
Yeah, lad about town.
Lads on lads on lads.
He's like a socialite.
Because of his head.
Yes.
Because he's got such a massive head.
People will be like, oh, look at that head.
And then everyone's like, oh, there's a man with an enormous head. Have you seen him?
He started just like we all did, with a bucket at the fringe.
Yeah.
Want to see my head? It was just a little curtain. I've got a poetry book. Check it out.
Back then, eyesettles were all mechanical. Mechanical, weren't they?
Yeah.
Clank, clank. Thank you. 10 cent. 10 whatever old money is.
Shanklin.
10 bobs. 10 D.
Bobs.
I've got a half Shanklin and a Moochie.
You guys are all bang on the money.
Really?
He is an it girl. He's an it guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
In his 20s, he's basically famous for being a witty socialite. One of the sources that I was reading for this case described him as like the equivalent of a Kardashian, but you know, with wit. but he made made parties really fun. So that's like a Kardashian, probably.
Okay.
He wore crazy outfits. That's quite Kardashian,
right,
actually.
Yeah.
And he's sort of like the in crowd, and important people on the scene in New York were obsessed with him.
Okay.
So he
was like, that's what Rasputin did.
Okay.
Rasputin basically got in there with Russian high society by being weird and saying, like, he'd like roast people.
Right.
And like diplomats would be like, ha ha ha, this mad guy just roasted me. And he'd give them like fun nicknames. So Oscar Wilde's like Rasputin.
Yeah.
That's how Rasputin got his way into the royal court. Yeah.
That's so funny. Everyone trying to pretend they're cool with being laughed at was like, yeah.
Ha ha ha. Yes.
I'm cool with that. Look, I'm not killing him. Welcome.
God, all of us socially awkward types never had a chance.
No.
I go to a party, I'm just like, okay. I pretend I'm looking at a painting and there's no painting. There's no painting at all. I go to the bathroom, cry.
You can be deep and interesting.
I've never been able to pull that off, Katie. I don't know if it's my nationality, my face. No sympathy for Americans, right? But like, we have pity on us because we are the golden retrievers of the world. Really, you know, just love us for what we are.
Okay, not all of you are golden retrievers.
I'm going to open this, so you guys keep talking.
This will be the prize. I'm glad you're opening that.
I'll just put it right in my crotch and see.
Okay, so, basically all of the fancy people back in the day, they're like, oh, us fancy people are having a soiree. We better invite that guy with all the witty bon mots and shizzle. That is verbatim what they said. So Napoleon Cerroni is an excellent and important photographer. He's a pretty big deal. He took lots of portraits of other famous people. I was going to ask you guys who else you think he might have taken photos of, but basically that question is name some dead white men.
There's my great-grandfather.
She's so fancy.
Oh, that's right.
You're like a stealth drinker. Mm. No one knows she's popped the champagne.
Yeah. I've done so much waitressing. Sorry, it's called serving now. I missed the gender gap. But we were taught to open fizz like that. Like, it shouldn't make a pop. Like, that was very rude. So we had to be like... But I always thought that was kind of gross. Like...
Do you want some?
I love the pop.
The places that I waitress, no one ever ordered fizz.
Yeah.
Fanta. This was in Alabama.
It was all Fanta. It was beer.
Yeah, I just think it sounds like a fart that you thought was going to be silent, but it wasn't quite.
Yeah.
Enjoy, everyone, enjoy.
Do you guys want to guess, or shall I tell you the dead
white famous men? Dead white
guys. This is America.
Yeah. America.
Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, please let it be Abe.
Is it like, it's probably like a banker or something, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. Got bank, I'll extend
Andrew Garfield.
I genuinely
I don't know, when did he die?
Rockefeller, Carnegie. Oh.
These are all good guesses. Mark Twain.
Ooh. Oh, fuck, that's always my answer, and I didn't say it for once. Mark Twain.
He's a good one.
Yeah. William T. Sherman, Walt Whitman, and Wilkie Collins.
Walt Whitman's another good one.
That's a lot of W's. Yeah. I'm just saying.
That's also conspiracy. A lot of beards. He's good at taking pictures of beards.
Yeah.
Bearded men.
Yeah.
He does that.
No issue with that.
Oh, fun fact. His picture of William Sherman was used as a model for the engraving of the first Sherman postage stamp.
Oh,
great.
Okay. Yeah,
that's good.
Thank you, one person, for whooping. If we don't get excited about history now, we're just going to repeat the mistakes of the past. So, Tarone's artistry as a photographer was the absolute nuts. He's the big guy on campus. He was apparently very eccentric himself. He was very flamboyant clothes as well.
Okay.
So Oscar Wilde goes to Cerrone's New York studio to get his picture taken, and Oscar's all dressed up in fancy clothes. And Cerrone takes one look at him and declares something. What does he declare?
Oh my God, look at the size of your head.
That'll never fit. That'll never fit.
Get that all in. You'll have way back, way back.
Mid-shot.
I don't know if he does have a big head, but I'm sticking with it.
He does.
Did have a big head, didn't he?
Yeah. I think. Yeah. This is basically how history is written, is you just say stuff and it sticks.
I heard a rumour he had a big head.
Yeah, massive.
I heard that. I think he had a big head.
Did he say, you're a hipster like me?
Mm. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I mean, what could he have said that's so important? It's part of this case, and I can't even begin to imagine.
I'm going to level with you. Not everything I say is that important.
Did he say, I'm really attracted to you, but I have a feeling this is going to result in a trademark Supreme Court case?
Did he say, could you sit there?
But he just declared it in a really flamboyant way.
Hold this book.
Sit there, please. Yeah. Pervert.
Coffee? Tea?
So he said...
I've got some Jamaican patties.
No. Oh, yeah, it was New York.
Kanish.
So he said, hey, I'm trying to photograph around here.
Yay.
Euros? I'm just going to list all the New York street foods now.
Roasted peanuts? All right, I'm going to cut you off. So he's declared a picturesque subject indeed.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's no, I have nothing to declare but my genius, but we can't all be writers. I mean, they've got bon mots coming out the wazoo in the 1880s. It's a whole thing. Now, Cerrone poses Oscar in this famous photo, and he chooses a background of furs and damask drapery. It's a vibe. Mm. It's popping. It's great hashtag content for Instagram. And this photo
If they don't fuck, I'm going to be so disappointed. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there now. Like, all the build-up.
I hope there's two pages on it.
Oh. So Cerrone has a wife. I'm sure I read something about her.
So did Oscar Wilde.
Well, that's true, but this is when he's still young. Like,
that's why he photographs beards.
Ew.
But he hadn't met that guy yet. I don't think
Jude Law.
My favorite
Jude
thing is zero reaction from Jude Katie Law. When I make a joke. No, he hadn't photographed the bearded men yet.
I liked the beard reference, but I still chose to answer factually.
Hmm. Indeed, you should.
So this photo is called Oscar Wilde Number 18. Yes, be impressed by that title.
Why 18?
Yeah, had he done 7?
Was it the 18th shot?
I imagine he took at least 18 photos. That is my guess.
Oh, wow. You really reveal yourself as a photographer, don't you?
So there's loads of others. So there's like 17. There's one where he's like
blinking
on all fours with a feather boa going,
I don't think the world's ready for this.
Oscar, too much Oscar.
But then some like normal ones where he's just like pointing.
A couple where he's got, you know, like the eyes gone.
Blinking, obviously.
Yeah. There definitely was this sort of CNA man pose. I think that's out there. Now, today, obviously, if we want to get our picture taken, we have to pay someone. But the tail end of the 19th century, they've got a slightly different setup. And the photographers would often pay famous people to sit for them, and sometimes loads of money. In fact, Cerrone once paid actress Sarah Bernhardt $1,500 or $45,000 today to pose for him.
There was a Sarah Bernhardt that wasn't on Roseanne?
Yes.
Wow.
She's buried in London.
Is that what she was named after? Yeah. That's so cool.
She was named after.
Stuff's so old.
Because what they would do as well is part of the deal would be they'd have the rights to the photos.
It's like Anne Hathaway.
Oh, what the?
Yeah. Can't believe that too. She's even older than Paul Rudd. She must be.
So the photographer gets the rights.
Yes.
Not the actor.
Yes.
Because money has exchanged hands. This is juicy. No, carry on.
But money has exchanged hands.
Oh, sorry.
I'm literally telling you.
Oh, sorry. I will listen now.
So it's a bit like with the AI thing. Like, he's paying for his image in perpetuity.
My God.
Now he can turn him into a... A dog human or something, whatever they're doing with AI.
Special branch has got to the crux of the court case before even that. Hold that thought.
Oh, hold that phone.
Yes.
Wasn't invented yet.
That is the argument. That's going to come up.
Ooh.
But basically,
hold the telegraph.
See, I found a way to make this relevant.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I didn't hear you say that. I apologize. That's my poor listening.
That's the whole point of this podcast.
I had ADHD before it was cool.
But the idea was with this, the particular deal, if it's a famous person, which Oscar Wilde was, and Sarah Bernhardt was, is they pay that fee to the person, they get their picture taken, and then they've got the rights, and they can sell them as like cabinet cards. It could be very lucrative if you can afford a celebrity in the first place.
Oscar Wilde magnets! Oscar Wilde magnets! Yeah!
It really sort of is a mad side hustle. Like, it is, that's what we're dealing with. Now, I promised you...
Oscar Wilde keychains!
I have to see it through now, guys. I'm sorry.
Get your Oscar Wilde keychains here.
All right, so everything's fine for a bit, and then 2 years after this photo is taken, it all kicks off.
Uh-oh.
Did he print him on a thong or something? Have you seen those? They're awful. You can buy them on Amazon and stuff. It's like, oh.
I never said
Paul
you
Rudd's
could...
thong.
Yeah, I didn't say you could put me on a thong. My head's too big. How have you fit me on a thong?
Yeah, the head has to be at the front bit, and then the body's just in there.
Woodwear. That's amazing. Not necessarily Oscar Wilde, but I love the idea of somebody's head and then the body just going through, and the little feet would be right there. Right next to your tramp stamp. I accidentally got one of those in the 90s.
Right, merch for next
merch.
Time.
I think we could branch out with this merch. I mean, there's probably no...
Oscar Wilde thongs!
I bet there's no copyright on it now because it's old. Is it 70 years or is that books? I don't know. Right.
It's 80 years for thongs.
So we're golden.
Right. So thong versus crimson.
That is what we'll do. So Eric Prose, printer, Burrow Giles Lithographic Company, made an unauthorized lithographs of the photo, and they used Wilde's image in an advertising campaign to sell hats.
Oh, shit.
What's extra weird about that is Oscar Wilde is not wearing a hat in the picture.
Because his head's too big.
No hats. Clearly no hats will fit this man.
What
this
was
is
the
false
hat
advertising.
I don't know what the hat company was called, actually.
But their tagline was, wait, we make hats so big even Oscar Wilde can wear them on his fucking head.
Yeah, XXX hats.
That's pretty crazy. Just because it's so understood today that you can't just throw somebody into an advert. So that's pretty...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is
wild.
Hello. Hats. Friday Night likes puns.
And he's not wearing a hat because there's no Photoshop.
Yeah.
I love it.
Amateurs. Bunch of amateurs. Now, Cerrone is pissed and he sues Burrow Giles for copyright infringement. Uh-huh. And so the case Borough does for Visa only went all the way to the Supreme Court because they've got nothing. They don't even need to like ban important stuff yet. They've got time to sit around.
Yeah, they haven't got to Roe versus Wade.
Yeah,
so they're like, well, we can deal with the hat situation.
We're going to talk about hats for a bit, guys.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
Photos.
It was so twee.
Yeah. The good old days.
Women were clogging up the system with their needs,
their rights.
Like, yeah, exactly. Nothing serious was happening. The company, Borogar's Lithographic, had an argument for their case, which actually we've touched on.
I'm wondering if it's like, do you remember when Vistaprint used to do, like, you can get all this stuff for free?
Oh, yeah.
And I went through a phase of just ordering the stuff, including a car door magnet.
It was all included.
Because it was all included. Yeah, it was free. So I went, all right, well, I'll put it on. And I think I put the words of Desiree's life on it. Oh, life.
That's such a shit option.
Because it was a sort of in-joke that then was on a car door magnet. And you're like, oh, maybe this wasn't. So I'm wondering if it was maybe just, it was, you know, they were drunk one night. They were like, I'm a bit bored. What can I do? Oh, well, I'll just put Oscar Wilde's face on this hat poster.
Oh, do you think?
And, you know, and they were like, I didn't mean to advertise.
Their defence was that they were bored and drunk and they didn't think anyone would care.
I didn't mean to advertise it. I just didn't, you know. No one's going to notice this car door magnet with the words of Desiree's life on it.
Just
no one's going to notice that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there were car door magnets. Yes. I've been missing out.
They've stopped doing them for free now because apparently people were abusing the system.
Everybody ruins it for everyone else. And I don't want to go too serious, but was this the first case of fair usage?
Okay.
Were they sort of arguing that he's so ubiquitous, he's so well known, that can anyone own Oscar Wilde?
Not that's really. That's a great answer too. Love it. Suze?
Well, all I can think of, is like a big 10-gallon cowboy hat with Oscar Wilde's face on the front, like, but it's all distorted because it's across the hat. Like. So I guess like they did that. That's what I'm picturing. And Oscar Wilde went, well, no. And he hated it.
All right. All right. I accept that answer as well.
Did I win?
You did not win. But basically, the AI thing's going to come back in a minute. So their argument was you can't copyright a photograph because they don't count as writings. So there are copyrights at this time, obviously. Now, I'm sure I don't need to bore you guys with Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8 of the United States Constitution to protect copyrights.
Mm.
We're all obviously very well versed in that.
That's my car magnet.
So I won't even bother mentioning that we've also got Section 4952 of the Copyright Act of 1865 explicitly extended to the protection of photographs, obviously. Yeah. We're all on board with that.
Welcome to cozy crime.
But the point is that this time photography is not really seen by the public as a creative endeavour worthy of copyright, which is so different to how we live today. But Borogar's argue that the Copyright Act is unconstitutional because the photography is the product of a machine, not a person, and the works of a machine could not be subject to copyright. Before it goes to the Supreme Court, we have a federal court. So question, which way does the federal court rule?
Well, if it goes all the way to the Supreme Court, I'm guessing that they would say it's in favor of the people who used the photo.
Okay.
Wait, is that how it works?
So Cerrone's taken them to court?
Yes.
Mm. I don't know. that makes no difference to my answer. No idea.
I reckon in favour of the hat people.
In favour of the lithographic.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the big 10-gallon hat with
I'll go the other way then. Just
all right, you go Cerrone.
Yeah, I'll go Cerrone.
Ruth gets it. So Cerrone...
By default.
Cerrone wins.
Wow. This is like eighth grade all again. When pretty Heather would just copy what I said and then she'd get the credit. Pretty Heather, where are you today? I don't know. Hope she's dead.
Gonna look her up on Facebook.
She was a bully.
Yeah, she should have done her own work. Then maybe she'd still be alive.
Yeah. She died doing what she loved, being a dick.
Plagiarizing. right to the end.
I bet, like, you're going to find her on Facebook and she'd probably just post memes that other people wrote. So she's still doing it. She's
still like the ones that were like, this soldier couldn't get served in Tesco on road that doesn't exist. Share if you think this is a disgrace. She shares them. For some reason, you went to school with someone who talks like that.
I like it.
Yeah, down with Britain First propaganda. Cerrone gets awarded $610, which today is $16,000.
Ooh.
But then it gets taken to the Supreme Court. Now, there's a whole thing. Oh, my God, this bit, right? They debate the interpretation of writings in the Constitution with printing, engraving, and etching. And there's a whole bit where everyone's banging on about maps and charts.
It goes, oh, I'm into that.
Yeah. It goes
bloody
on
love a map
for days.
I'm into charts.
Ooh, an etching's done get me started.
Stencil.
But in the end, the Supreme Court were convinced that Cerrone was in the right. So question, what is the argument? We've heard the argument, oh, it's a machine. So what is the argument?
They do rule in Cerrone's favor.
Yeah, the Supreme Court agreed with Cerrone. So what is the argument that convinces the Supreme Court?
Photography is rotten.
It feels like they just connected the dots.
Okay. Is it
there's
like,
all different ways of creating. That's what we learned today.
Is it
I'm Brett Kavanaugh's great uncle.
Oh, his
and
face.
Those girls were plenty willing.
It feels like I was lifting weights with Winky, Binky, and Tonks.
Is it
There's no such thing as a private Winky.
Thank you.
Winkies are for everyone to enjoy.
I wrote it down in these calendars. He had his special calendars. Sorry, I'm a bit obsessed with the Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah. He got a load of calendars out and said, me and my dad kept these calendars. And I was like, well, his dad must be dead. And he wasn't. It was just calendars making him cry. Anyway, so carry on.
Everything about that trial is insane.
Yeah, I mean.
But luckily he got away with it. Yeah. That's good. Thank God.
Oh, God.
The great news is.
No miscarriages of justice here. I think, is it that the camera can't take the picture without someone pulling the trigger?
Ooh, lovely.
It's pulling the trigger.
Yeah. A camera is a gun.
Trigger man.
I know a lot about photography. Bang, bang. Yeah.
There you go. Get your passport.
No, you're on a plate.
This is like when I watched a football match and I called the commentator the narrator.
Yeah, I watch football.
Are they still rehearsing?
The interval. Is it the interval? Is it the interval now? Half time. Oh, is it the interval?
Yeah. We're all going to get a drink. Why are we quibbling? Yeah.
This is a great show.
Was she supposed to step on her back?
Oh. That'll be taken
too
out.
Too soon. Someone just too said too soon.
I didn't do it.
It's all right. England played better after she went off. It was amazing. It was Nigeria, wasn't it? Suddenly they were like, oh no, now who are we going to like push out wide constantly? And England were like, haha, we've won even though we were crap in this match. Anyway, it was good. Sorry to say that.
It was a great match. It was a good match.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what?
I love football.
I know that.
I'm going to go ahead and bring us back to the case.
Yes, sorry, Katie. Sorry.
So basically what...
Trademark law just gets me so riled up.
So the trial court found that Cerrone had, by posing Oscar Wilde in front of the camera, selecting and arranging the costume, draperies and other various accessories in said photograph, arranging the subject so as to present a graceful outline. I'm reading a quote.
Was this the first gay Supreme Court justice? There was drapery. Listen.
No machine could drape like that.
Love it.
And of course,
love it.
That's not even to mention the light and shade and the suggesting and evoking the desired expression and... from such disposition or arrangement or representation made entirely by the plaintiff, he produced the picture in suit. That is the quote.
They were moved.
Yeah. So therefore, the control that Cerrone exercised over the subject matter in view of the court showed that he was the author in an original work of art. Basically, they gave him exclusive rights under copyright laws.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yay, Cerrone wins.
Hooray.
Photography wins.
No 10-gallon hat. with Oscar Wilde's face on it.
No more 10-gallon hats.
No more car magnets.
And the Supreme
Swing
Court.
The roundabouts, babe. Swing the roundabouts. In it.
But so too, this was a landmark case that forever changed copyright laws and attitudes towards photography. And now we really respect photography.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, also, fun fact, not long after this, Freddie takes a photo of the Supreme Court.
So, that's how he did it. He went, look, if you vote in my favour, I will do you a drapey photo.
Yeah. Do you think they did it all fun with, like, some of them had, like, year 2000 glasses on? And they're like,
I reckon they did, but that will be, we won't see that one, but I bet it exists.
Yeah, copyright.
It was 1900. The world's going to explode! No, and in a way it did, because the Industrial Revolution.
And as Ruth touched on earlier, this debate has started again today with AI, because if the work is the product of a quote-unquote machine, can it be copyrighted? Does it have to have human authorship? But that's a nightmare for another day. So let's raise our glasses to Cerrone.
Cerrone!
So there was a kid in my kid's nursery class called Napoleon. I just wanted to throw that out there, and I was like, damn, that is a bold choice on so many levels. Wow.
It's like calling your kid Jesus.
It is. This
no
is
pressure. Section. No pressure.
Mm-hmm. No pressure.
Don't be a dictator. Winkies are private.
This is the part of the night where we get one of you guys up to tell us about the time you were the victim of a crime.
Ooh.
So has anybody got one bubbling up the... Oh, hello, lady on the front row.
It's a family.
It's a family crime.
It's a family crime.
Is it? Oh, my... You all did it, or you all suffered from it?
Yes.
Okay. Come on up, lady. Yes, give her more love. Woo-hoo! Yes. She's very brave.
Tiny.
Hello. What's your name?
I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
So what happened to your whole family?
My auntie met a very nice man.
Okay.
Uh-oh. And things moved very, very quickly.
Ooh.
And she doesn't do online banking.
What?
Doesn't do online banking, doesn't really...
How does she not do online banking?
Ask Suze's nan. Yeah, she understands. Yeah.
She doesn't even have a bank account.
Life was better before bank accounts.
She's got some money under the mattress.
Yeah.
Probably.
She doesn't even like money. She likes to barter with bread. Rocks. Sorry, Sarah.
So they planned on getting married, and they were buying a house together, which my auntie paid the deposit, but she didn't pay the deposit. She gave the money to him.
Wow.
So the first thing that we realised is that the house they were going to buy went back on the market.
Ooh.
And my dad went and viewed it.
Oh. Wow.
And we realised that basically he had been stealing all her money.
Wow. Nice.
But really bad as well, he proposed to her with a ring that she bought.
Oh my God. He's a
woman. And we ended up... ended up bringing her to my mum's house, and we were basically like, something's not right. You're not buying a house. This is not right. They were literally meant to be moving in like 3 weeks time or something, like really. And he came over and was like, tried to get in my house and like banged on the door. Like,
Jesus.
Really tried. He knew he'd been caught.
Wow.
And he went back to the house they lived in and pissed over everything.
No.
Oh my god. That'll show him. What?
Yeah.
Because I really liked him until then.
Yeah.
Quality man.
I was team uncle.
Wow.
And we got in touch with his kids, and they said he'd done it before.
Wow.
Which is the worst thing.
What did he do? Had he done the stealing or the pissing?
He's pissed before.
Combo together.
He's done it in loads of different toilets.
Oh, man. We are dealing with a malignant narcissist.
Yeah.
I've read enough blogs to diagnose this. I know Taylor's the official.
Wow.
We are up on BuzzFeed. We've got
What happened
in the end?
She did get all her money back from the bank.
Oh, good.
He
got
the bank.
He
£40. All £40 of it.
Yeah.
House. I've never bought a house, but I presume the deposit is about £40.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how can anyone afford one?
You better get on that before it goes up.
So she got all her money back. They did arrest him.
Ooh, nice.
He got. I don't know. We didn't get involved in what happened, but yeah. But she is getting married to a new man.
Yay!
He's lovely and really nice and really nice.
Yay!
In about a month.
Hooray!
And then they're all gonna go round to that guy's house and piss
on it.
Yay!
Well done.
Thank you so much. Wow.
Love a crime with a happy ending.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
I know. It doesn't happen enough unless it's a case of photography rights.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty happy too.
That worked out
That's
great.
That's good stuff. I'm still so mad at that guy.
I know.
Yeah. I'm just going to hold on to that.
His family knew.
That's just what he does.
Yeah, he's done it before. Yeah, a couple of times.
Nobody's perfect.
Right.
He just steals and then he pisses everywhere. Yeah. That's dad.
Don't you think you'd like warn people? Like, because we've all got like a friend, haven't we, who's terrible with women.
Yeah.
Like a male friend who's terrible.
I'm a comedian. All the men I know.
Yeah. And then when we meet their girlfriends, we go, run away.
Yeah.
Run away! I love him, but run away!
He's probably stopped introducing her to the friends that will say that.
Maybe that's
it. Like, when I pick a mark, I won't introduce them to my friends that have a moral compass.
And also, I know it's easy for people to listen to stories like that and go, oh, well, she was very naive, and that's kind of on her. And it's almost like society socializes us to think that we're not whole until a man takes our hand in marriage.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
I would love to unpack this, but...
We don't have time.
It is the end of the show, but we have just enough time to ask our fantastic guest, Suze Kemner, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
If you want to come on Twitter as it dies, like the last days of Berlin, twitter.com, it's still Twitter, the site's still Twitter, twitter.com/SuzeUK, SOOZUK. I'll see you there. I'm tweeting as it dies around me. Sexless wanker.
Awesome. Oh, well, thank you. Give it up for Suze Kemner and Ruth Brown. And the drummer is Tommy Cry. Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.